All right, I see that KF7UTR and KD0ETQ and some others have joined us. I'm looking for a possible alternate for tonight because Herb is not going to be able to make it. Is there anyone that would like to be my alternate for tonight? Go ahead.
I'll back you up there, Jose.
All right, Phil, thank you very much. Appreciate that. Phil, KD0ETQ, is my backup for tonight. If anything should happen that I am not able to continue, we should rely on Phil to take over and continue the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. All right, I'm coming back on the break, after the break, to start the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet for tonight. We'll be right back, folks. This is KK4JZX. Good evening, and welcome to the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet for November 29th, 2012. This is KK4JZX. My name is Jose. And tonight, I'd like to let you know that Herb is not going to be able to join us. He probably will be on the net tomorrow morning. But KD0ETQ Phil is going to be my alternate for tonight. And essentially what we're doing tonight is we're talking about technology, pretty much anything having to do with technology, whether it's radio-related, whether it's computer-related, anything that you can think about, bring it up in the TechNet, and we will try to discuss it in a roundtable manner. We are not necessarily taking check-ins for the count, although we don't. We do take those as well, but the idea is to bring in individuals who want to pose questions or perhaps bring in a tip and talk about technology in general. And if there's anything that needs to be discussed, we would discuss it here. And typically we have lots of discussion surrounding many, many topics. So without further ado, I'd like to take any emergency or priority traffic at this time. Any emergency or priority traffic, go ahead. All right, folks, if there should be any emergency or priority traffic, please feel free to let us know by break or priority, and we will handle the traffic as it should be. This is KK4JZX for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet tonight. We're going to start taking check-ins and questions that regarding technology, and please, I would ask you to take give me two check-ins at a time. I have some challenges here with my computer, and I'm still working them out. But we're going to be able to do the net very regularly tonight. Go ahead. It's your turn on the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet.
KD0ETQ Tango Quebec.
All right. I've got one station, KD0ETQ, Phil. How's it going tonight, Phil? I'm glad that you're able to make it. You have been a regular on the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNets, and we definitely appreciate that. What is, do you have any comments, any questions for the group tonight, Phil? Go ahead, it's your turn. This is KK4JZX.
Yeah, Jose, KK4JZX, K0ETQ. Yeah, I had something I've been thinking about. I've been hearing about things a lot and kind of reminiscing about the old days when I first was a tech and back in the 60s. Everybody used to talk about there wasn't that many transceivers. You always seemed to have a transmitter and then had to have a separate receiver. I think even on 2 meters I had a whole separate Johnson Viking 6 and 2, but I had to, had the whole setup with the transmitter. But for receive, I think I used a national receiver with a 2 meter converter, stuff like that. But when everybody talked about their transmitters, they were always talking about the pair of 6146s. Always mention pair of 6146s. Now, what I was wondering is, this is anything I'm trying to figure, doing, myself technically or anything. I just was wondering, when it went to solid state, this may have to be answered by someone that's been around for a while, what replaced the 6146s? What type of technology replaced? And I know everything went to solid state. Something must have replaced the 6146s in those transceivers. And I was wondering, when the 6146s were around, were they only for high, wattage output? Were any for like 500 watts or kilowatt, or do you have a pair of 6146 for 100 watts? That's just kind of what I was wondering about back in the 60s and probably 70s, but I wondered what replaced it. What type of technology, what type of circuits replaced the big 6146s that were out there? Because there's still kilowatt transceivers, so I was wondering what replaced it. That's kind of a, maybe a strange question, but that's kind of what I was wondering. Back to you, KD0 Echo Tango, Quebec.
Yeah, good question, Phil. Let's see if somebody here on the TechNet has an answer for you. Phil is asking what replaced the 6146s, if anyone here has any comments regarding that, or any questions at all, or any tips that you would like to bring up in the TechNet, you can go ahead. It's your turn. This is KK4JZX, taking your check-ins for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet.
Here's your PQW. Answer at least some of it.
KA0PQW, go ahead with your comment. This is KK4JZX.
Yeah, very good. Good evening, everybody. Good to hear you there, Phil. Well, the 6146, as you know, is a very, very popular tube, and then they have the 6146Bs and stuff. And generally, when you got up to, say, the 500-watt class and stuff like that, they usually used other things besides 6146s. Because by that time you'd almost need too many of them to be able to generate that sort of power. A single 6146 is good for about 90 watts of carrier. The Johnson Viking Ranger transmitter that I have uses a single 6146 in the final amp. And when you got to, if you looked at like a Heathkit DX100, the 100, those old things used a pair of 6146s in the final. And there were, I know for sure that the Johnson Viking Valiant had five of them in there totally. They used three in the final as the final amplifier and then two of them as a modulator or something. I don't remember how that all worked, but anyhow, it had five of them in there. I don't remember how the configuration went now. Used to know, but it's been a long time since I've had a Valiant. The basic answer, I guess, to the replacement is transistors, you know. I mean, they've come up with transistors that are capable of handling that kind of power. Some of the Motorola transistors and stuff, and I can't name any of them off the top of my head, but that's basically what they've done. Obviously, they went to high-powered transistors to replace the tubes. And another thing you might want to know is there are, I don't know if there are for the 6146s, but there are some tubes like the 3B28s. Those tubes, they actually made a solid-state replacement for that, and it was a circuit, a transistor, and probably some other circuitry. I don't know how they did it. I don't remember. I just know that they had an actual solid-state replacement, a direct replacement for the 3B28s. Those were used in some military transmitters and stuff like that. So, they've gotten some transistors now that are very capable of handling a kilowatt, or they'll use a pair of them, is probably what they're doing, or some variation thereof in a power module, where they put a whole bunch of stuff into one big module kind of a thing. I don't know. Is that sort of, I don't know. It's being real helpful. Will that help there, Phil? Grant?
Yeah, K0PQW, KD0ETQ. That kind of answers. I just wondered. I mean, I wasn't planning on trying to build anything, but I just was wondering. I mean, I just remembered everybody. That was a big deal, big talk in the 60s and 70s. You know, everybody had the, you know, 90% of the time you hear somebody in the final, I got a pair of 6146s. And then, the one I just went to the SWL, you know, just listening, and the, I just had a communications receiver, you know, I didn't have any transmitter, but then, you know, all the transceivers started coming out, and I figured, well, and they're all solid states, I figured you've got, you know, we've got a transceiver, you've got your receiver and transmitter there, without the 6146s, so I figured you really had to, you know, compact all that stuff down into something. So, yeah, so it was some type of a heavy-duty transistors that handled it. Okay, well, thanks for the answer. That pretty much answered it. Some, I was just wondering, you know, it's maybe a strange thing to wonder, but just some I think I got answered pretty well. So thanks a lot, Matt. KD0PQW, KD0ETQ. I'm not sure if Matt takes it back or back to Jose. It's KD0ETQ.
I guess that's how I was here. Yeah, well, right, and there, I would say that I don't know of any direct solid-state replacements for, say, like a 6146. But yeah, you know, obviously they've come up with transistor replacements, and the same goes for the driver stages. You know, as you know, back then, they had driver tubes, too. The Viking Ranger uses a 5763, I think. And the phone ringing, K0PQW to the phone.
All right, thank you, Matt, K0PQW, and go ahead and come back when you get off the phone. If you'd like to make any further comments, Phil, thanks for your question, and hopefully that answered part of it. Most of it, actually, for me, I wasn't familiar with that technology. Being a relatively new ham, I haven't had a lot of reading into that era, but I'm learning quite a bit. I got myself one of those keyers, Curtis keyers. It when I did a little bit of research, I found out that it was the original Curtis keyer that was built very, very early on, the very first one that was built. So I've got quite a treasure here, in my opinion, which is I don't know if it actually is a good opinion, but it's something from the past, and I just need to get me a paddle for it, and then I'll be trying it out. But I'm taking any check-ins right now for the Henny Ham Radio Club TechNet with any questions, any comments, any tips related to technology. Go ahead, it's your turn on the Henny Ham Radio Club TechNet. This is KK4JZX.
Amber Zero, Tango Charlie Delta.
Kilowatt Zero, Oscar United X-Ray.
That last station, Zero OUX, would you repeat the call sign? It got broken up there in the beginning. Go ahead.
Hold a little bit here. Make sure I've got it, Jose. The call is Kilowatt Zero, Oscar United X-Ray. Location is Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And new to Echolink. I've been on Handycam Link many times, but I do have a few questions in regards to Echolink. KK4JZX, K0OUX.
All right, I've got N0TCD, and then I've got the second station. The second station is K0OUX. All right, I'm going to take the first station. N0TCD, go ahead, it's your turn on the net.
South of St. Paul, Minnesota, down here by Northfield, Minnesota. And last time I checked into this net was probably about a year ago. And just I was sitting here and thought I would check in tonight. Got a question. Got an old SB201 here that I'm contemplating doing some rework on. And I've been watching or kind of reading some of the messages, some of the mail on the 572Bs that are in this linear, and was wondering if anybody knows. I understand there's a Chinese tube, there's a Taylor tube, and there's a Soviet tube. I forget the name escapes me right now, but was wondering if anybody had any experience with the tubes, the output tubes in this particular linear, and would recommend which way to go there. N0TCD.
N0TCD, thank you very much for checking in, and thanks for your question. Did you say your name was Paul? Go ahead and come back and correct me if I'm wrong. This is KK4JZX.
KK4JJX. N0TCD. It is Larry there, Jose. Larry. Lima Alpha, Roger, Roger, Yankee.
All right, N0TCD. Larry, sorry about that, but I've got your name here. And I've got your question. Hopefully somebody will be able to answer it for you. I know there are some people here on the TechNet that are always going to have something to say, and hopefully somebody will be able to comment on it. I'm going to move on to the next station, and hopefully we'll have an answer for you tonight. But hang in there. We'll see what we've got. K0OUX, it's your turn on the net. Go ahead.
Yes, KK4JZX and the net, K0OUX. Al, it's my first time checking in through Echolink. I'm on an iPad 3 and wonder if anyone else is using Echolink on iPad 3s. Find it very interesting. My first QSO today was with a Ukraine station. But would like to know, I have checked into the HandyHam TechNet or HandyHamNet many times before there, Jose. I know Matt up there. He might recognize the call. I was lived in Minneapolis for 28 years. The new QTH is Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So would like any comments on individuals using the iPad 3 with Echolink. KK4JZX, K0OUX.
K0OUX, actually I do have Echolink running on an iPhone 4. Which I would guess is similar to the iPad 3, but I use it with VoiceOver because I am visually impaired, and it seems to work pretty well. I haven't found a way to figure out how to enter a node number as opposed to entering a call sign into the field. But I have not worked a whole bunch on the Echolink portion using the iPhone, because most of the time I'm using Echolink on my computer here. But go ahead and come back with your handle there so that I can make a note here. I don't think I got it. Go ahead. This is KK4JZX.
Okay, fine, Jose. The handle here is Victor Ida Charlie, and the QTH is Chapel Hill, North Carolina. And yeah, I think the iPhones and the iPads are very similar. What I have found is difficulty, I show on the screen as I'm scrolling through the repeater stations, they're active, but when I try to join or listen, I always get either rejected or it times out. So I think it's kind of the protocol, I believe it's the protocol, the way Echolink is set up. This is my first experience using Echolink, so, and look forward to checking in more often. One other question I think Matt maybe could answer it. Jose, you probably could too, is what is the standard scheduled times for the HandyHam TechNet? I know the HandyHam Net meets, I think, about 11 o'clock Central every day. KK4JZX, K0OUX.
All right, Vic, K0OUX. The HandyHam Radio Club TechNet is at 7 p.m. Central Time every Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern, and we are here every single Thursday at 7 p.m. Central Time, and the regular HandyHam Nets are at 11 a.m. Central Time, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. as well. So all you have to remember is 11 and 7, and then the Saturday net and the Sunday trivia net at 11 a.m. as well. Everything's at 11 a.m. except for Wednesday and Thursday. So, which is 7 p.m. Central. All right. I'm going to go ahead and move on with any other stations that might want to check in and answer perhaps some of the questions that have been asked already by Vic and some of the other folks here. Go ahead. It's your turn on the HandyHam Radio Club TechNet. This is KK4JZX.
Romeo Hotel.
My goodness, my good friend Riley, KL3RH. Go ahead with your comments. Riley, how's it going tonight?
Oh, it's going pretty good. Just kind of been working on some stuff and kind of been messing around with computers all week. Helped Matt out, PQW out with a bunch of stuff here the other day, and today I'm kind of tripping all over the place, doing all kinds of weird things. So it's all good. I don't know about the iPhone, but I know the Android on the Echo Link app, if I want to enter a node number in, I just go to search, and then I enter, let's say, Handyham, which is 494-492, I think, and click search, and it pulls that up, and I can just connect that way. I mean, it's a little bit of a weird way to connect, but... I have no idea whether the iPhone works that way or not. Anyway, I guess that's all the frivolous information I've got tonight. Kilowatt Lima 3 Romeo Hotel.
All right, Riley, thank you very much for joining us tonight. And on my computer on Echolink, I can hit Control O. This is Windows, and I can the first field is call sign field. And the second field is a node number field. So I have not found that in the iPhone app. But hopefully somebody will have an answer for Vic tonight. The question that Vic had was regarding timeout. He seems to be connecting to some stations that he's going through on the iPad and seems to get a timeout. That used to happen to me when I was experimenting with Echolink on the iPhone. I didn't get an answer on that, but I'm sure there are some people here that would have some answers on why Echolink would time out using the iPhone, iPad, iOS application. This is KK4JZX, taking any check-ins for the Handyham Radio Club TechNet. Go ahead. All right, folks, if you have any questions regarding technology, we are... discussing that tonight. There are some questions on the table, and if any of you would like to come in and pose your own questions, you may check in with the Handyham Radio Club TechNet, and should be able to come up with an answer, and if not, we'll find an answer for you. Does anyone out there have any questions or any comments for what's already been discussed tonight? And if not, I've got a question that I'm going to bring up a little bit later on about building an antenna. But if you guys have any comments for what has been discussed tonight, go ahead. It's your turn on the Handyham Radio Club TechNet. This is KK4JZX.
UA0TDA.
All right, Pat. I caught you there. You're a little on the low side, but you sound clear. Go ahead with your comments.
Okay, well, maybe I just need to speak up. I heard Larry ask about the Soviet or the Russian vacuum tubes, and those are Svetlana tubes, I believe. Svetlana. And I used to have one of those amplifiers that Heath get, and I have never replaced the tubes in it, and I don't own it anymore, so I can't speak for replacement tubes. But I do remember from assembling a number of Heath kits that they do recommend trying to buy a matched pair of tubes. So I would maybe go with a supplier that can provide the matched tubes. And even if they cost a little bit more to buy them that way, it's probably a good idea. WA0TDA.
N0TCD, Larry, I want to come back to you because Pat, WA0TDA, just mentioned something about your question. How does that sound to you, Larry? Go ahead.
Jose and Pat, WA0TDA, N0TCD here. I appreciate the information. That sounds good. And yes, the Svetlana tubes, that is the name that escaped me. I am saying that those Soviet tubes were really not all that reliable, but then I've also seen some postings that say that the Chinese tubes aren't that great either, but I appreciate the insight into the match tubes. I've had this linear for, I'd say probably 25 years now, and I've never ever turned it on. I've got one of the original replacement tubes, which is a Centron or Citron, something like that. But I've tried to shop around, but those apparently are no longer available, and I need to replace the tubes in this, so I'm looking for any information that will help me out there.
N0TCD, you may go ahead and go direct with WA0TDA, Pat. If you guys want to go over that really quickly, I'll... I suggest that you go ahead and go direct with him and see if you if Pat might have any further comments. Pat, go ahead. This is very interesting. WA0TDA, this is KK4JZX.
Yep, okay. Well, I can't speak for the reliability of the Svetlana tubes or the Chinese tubes, but I do suspect that they are probably the only game in town, because I don't believe other brands are even made anymore. So, I guess another place to check would be probably a user group on the internet.
TDA, N0TCD. Pat, I only caught probably about 30% of that. You were kind of breaking up there. But I understand that you don't feel that the Soviet tubes or the Chinese tubes are very good. And I appreciate that input. That's kind of the feeling that I've been getting as well. I was not aware that Heathkit recommended matched pairs, so when I do replace the tubes in this amplifier, I will definitely make sure that I get some matched set there for that. WA0TDA, N0TCD.
Here and moving out of range, I apologize for the signal. WA0TDA, Mobile.
Please, Pat. WA0TDA, N0TCD, sign clear and back to net.
All right, N0TCD, Larry, thank you very much, and Pat, for your comments as well, WA0TDA. Larry, I had an interesting question for you, because I'm not familiar, I'm not an electronics guy, but I heard a podcast recently, about 6 months ago, from a guy that said that he had been, because you mentioned that you had not turned on that unit in 25 years. You never turned it on. How is the electronics in that unit affected by current not actually flowing through it? Maybe I'm a little bit off base here, but I heard that from a source of someone who builds who used to build motherboards. He said that those units he had units that he had to keep turning on a regular basis because something happened when current was not flowing through those. I welcome your comment, Larry. Go ahead. N0TCD, this is KK4JZX.
4JJX, N0TCD. Fine business there, Jose. Yes. Well, actually, to tell you the truth, I'm an electrical engineer. I work for a research and development company over in Eden Prairie, Minnesota. And I've been in electronics, or been tinkering with electronics ever since I was about 6 years old. The age here is 60, so it's multiplied by 10. Hi. Yes, if you leave an electronic circuit lying fallow, especially an old one, more than likely the capacitors will degrade. And for the most part, the filtering stages in any electronic circuit will degrade and more than likely fail. So when you have a piece of equipment that's old, dated, shall we say, one of the first things that you need to do is look at the filtering or the capacitance in the circuitry. And most people will take and bring up old radio equipment on a variac, very slow, to see if it will hold its charge, so to speak. In this particular case here with the SB 201, there were so many of them made, Jose, that, and let me break here to make sure that I don't time out the repeater. Okay, there were so many of these SB 201s and SB 200s made that they're a very popular linear. They won't give you full output, but they'll surely get close to 700 watts of output, and it's a good linear. The beautiful thing about them is that they were made, constructed by the individual that bought the kit, so therefore they were easy to work on and everything else. In this particular instance here, what I'm going to do is I'm going to replace the power supply board and a few other of the caps that are inside the amplifier, but I also want to make sure that I replace the tubes as well, because as everybody knows, these tubes are getting harder and harder to get a hold of, and I want the thing to perform correctly. And but to answer your question, Jose, yes, an old dated piece of equipment, you definitely have to look at the boards, and more than likely probably change the capacitors there. N0TCD, back to net control.
N0TCD, Larry, this is KK4JZX. Wow, thank you very much. Honored to speak with somebody with so much experience in electronics. Thank you for that clarification. I'm in no way an electronics engineer. My background is information technology. Thank you, Larry. All right, does anyone else have any questions for tonight or any comments for what has been discussed? We're talking about technology tonight, having to do with RF, computers, telephones, you name it. If you've got a technology question, we'll discuss it here. This is KK4JZX taking your check-ins now. Go ahead. All right, I'm going to take this opportunity to make sure that we are taking care of some housekeeping issues here. Don't forget, folks, if there's any emergency or priority traffic, you can always break in with a break or priority, and we'll handle it as it should be. And I want to tell you a little bit about Handy Hams really quickly. If you'd like to learn more about the nets that Handy Ham runs, you can visit www.handyham.org and read on there. Click on Handy Ham Nets, and you'll get a schedule of all the Handy Ham nets that are run every day at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central Time. And right now what we're doing is we're talking about technology. We're discussing anything to do with technology tonight. And this is the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. Go ahead with your check-in, your question, your comment, your tip. It's your turn on the net. This is KK4JZX.
KD0NNE.
KD0NNE, go ahead. It's your turn on the net.
Yeah, good evening, Jose, and everybody on the net. KD0NNE, Jim from Crystal, Minnesota. I hope this is considered technology, but I've bought myself several Elinco handhelds, the DJ series. I've got a V5, a V17, and a V175. The latter is still currently being made, as far as I can tell. At any rate, the older one programs up pretty good. It's a multi-channel radio, or a multi-band radio. The other two are 2 meter only. One of them programs occasionally. The other one I have run into a dead end. Followed the directions to the letter, and I can't get it to take the information and put it in the memory channel I want. Anybody familiar with these things can give me a hand. KD0NNE, back to net.
Hey, Jim, KD0NNE. Go ahead and come back to me with the manufacturer that you mentioned, because I know I've got the other ones. I've got the model numbers, but the manufacturer at the beginning there, I didn't quite get it. Go ahead. and then we'll pass it on to anyone that might have a comment about that. This is KK4JZX.
Hey, Jose. A-L-I-N-C-O. Elinco. KD0NNE, back to net.
All right, KD0NNE, thank you very much. We'll see if someone here has a question or a comment about that. Go ahead, anyone that would like to check in right now and perhaps comment on Jim's question. Maybe somebody has an answer for him. It's your turn on the net. All right, folks, this is KK4JZX. The question, the most recent question from Jim was about the Elinco radio handhelds. He says he's having some issues with actually saving information into the channels. If I'm incorrect, Jim, you can correct me in a little bit when I come back to you, but does anyone have any answers for Jim at this time or any comments perhaps? This is KK4JZX. All right, looks like we're going to have a light night tonight, I'm going to throw in my question in a little bit, and it is my question that I'd like to throw in first is about building an antenna out of 75-ohm coaxial cable. I happen to have some 75-ohm coaxial cable laying around, and I'd like to be able to build an antenna with that. If anybody has any suggestions, I've got Oshang radio, a handheld, that I'd like to use with that, and anything that would help me in getting that antenna built up would be great. But we're taking check-ins tonight for any comments, any questions, any new topics beyond what has been discussed already. Go ahead, it's your turn on the Henny Ham Radio Club TechNet.
Okay, a little rainy, but, you know, what do you do? All right, good to hear you. Keep your final list, K7JA.
All right, I've got a station, but I'm not getting the call sign. Go ahead and come back, because I'm not copying that. This is KK4JZX. That last station that came in, was it Jerry WB4TBR? Was that the station that was trying to come in? Hey Phil, did you catch that? This is KK4JZX.
Yeah, Jose, I think what was happening, something was coming through on Van IRLP. It sounded like a separate QSO coming maybe through a node or something through something in IRLP. It was coming through Van IRLP. And it sounded like a separate QSO, not intended for this net.
All right, Phil, thank you very much for coming in. KA0PQW, Matt, are you familiar with what's going on with the Van IRLP connection there? This is KK4JZX.
Yeah, Jose, I don't think Matt ever came back after that phone call he said he had, because I'm just guessing some of the questions that were posed out there, I was guessing he might have came back, and especially the ones about the tubes and everything, I thought he might come back in there. I think what may have happened, he may have taken a phone call, and he may still be away dealing with that. But yeah, that was a separate QSO. I heard two separate calls, seven call and another one. It sounded like they were in a QSO together, and one was just signing off and saying 73s to another. So it sounded like a separate QSO that they weren't intended or didn't know they were coming through into this net, KD0ETQ.
All right, KD0ETQ, Phil, thank you very much. This is KK4JZX. Folks, we're taking any check-ins right now for the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet with any questions regarding technology. It doesn't matter what question it is. If you've got a question about radio, or computers, if you've got issues with Echolink, there are a couple of questions. I'm going to be coming back around in a little bit to go over the questions that have already been asked, just to make sure that we're that we're getting them out there. I think we've got two or three questions that are still in the air. One of them is regarding Echolink and timeouts on the on the iOS devices. I think the iPad 3 was particularly the one that we're talking about. I've had similar issues of timing out when connecting to stations using Echolink on my iPhone 4, but I suspect that that has to do with some relays. But I'm not familiar with the technology enough to be able to answer the question. Does anyone have any comments or any answers for that particular topic or any of the other topics that have already been discussed? Go ahead, it's your turn.
Say, this is K0OUX. I've got some answers for your antenna question.
All right, K0OUX. I believe that's Vic, right? This is KK4JZX. Go ahead.
KK4JZX, K0OUX. You are correct. Handle is Vic. I think you asked about the antenna. You had a bunch of 75-ohm coax. There's a very good site, the Central Carolina DX Club. The web address is www.ccdxc.org. That's Charlie Charlie Delta X-ray Charlie.org. And on their page, they have an antenna calculator program. The basic feed point impedance of a dipole antenna varies depending on the angle, whether it goes into an inverted V, but they have a very good calculation program that might help you out, Jose. I hope that helps. It's a good spot to look at to get antenna calculator and calculate various dimensions feed point. KK4JZX, K0OUX.
K0UX, thank you very much, Vic. Appreciate that. What I'm doing is I'm going to be building the antenna from scratch here, just as a small project. And later on, I'm probably going to go out and get something because I'm going to be doing a paddling trip on the Peace River in Florida in this coming April. And I have a repeater that is about 35 to 50 miles away from where I begin my paddling trip. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to reach... Actually, I know I'm not going to be able to reach that repeater with the standard rubber ducky antenna that comes with those radios. So I am going to have to take something with me, and I'm looking to build something that I can fold up and take with me. And I happen to have found about 100 foot of coaxial cable that... and I don't know, and you guys tell me if this is possible or not, that the satellite company left when they installed the satellite dish here. And I've been told that I can use that for the antenna part. Of course, I shouldn't be using it for the feed line, because the feed line needs to be 50 ohm. But the antenna part is what I'm looking at, and all the connections all the way to the radio. And I believe the radio has reverse SMA on the side of the radio itself. So whatever goes happens between the antenna and the radio is what I'm trying to figure out. This is KK4JZX taking your check-ins now. Go ahead. I'm going to come back to the list here real quick, and then before we close the net, it's definitely going to be a light net tonight. N0TCD, was your question answered, and did you have any further questions for the tech net tonight? This is KK4JZX.
KK4JZX, N0TCD. I'm sorry, Jose, I stepped away from the radio. Could you repeat your query?
N0TCD, yeah. I was just basically going back before we closed the net for tonight. I wanted to ask you if you had any further comments and if you got the answer that you needed for your question. I know you and Pat had talked about it a little bit. But are you satisfied with your answer, and do you would you like to have anything else answered tonight before we move on to talking to Vic about his issue? This is KK4JZX.
4JZX, N0TCD. No, Jose. Pat did a wonderful job. I was not aware that the linear needed to have a matched pair, which has given me a heads up, and I really appreciate that. So when I go out and search for some valves for this particular unit, I'm going to be looking for those now. And I find that the net was excellent here this evening. The few questions that were asked were excellent, and I'll try and make sure that I check in here a little more frequently. So I'll say 73s and to everybody on the net, and thanks for running a wonderful net there, Jose. KK4JZX N0TCD.
N0TCD, usually the nets are a lot longer than this. We have had nets that have run over 2 hours. If you'd like to go ahead and listen to some of those, you can go to the Handy Ham website. And out there you can find the archive of the nets. And thank you for checking in. And I'm going to move on to N0. Sorry about that, folks. K0OUX, Vic. I know that there are people here that that would have had an answer. There are regulars on the Henny Ham Radio Club TechNet that typically have an answer for your question. I have heard that question asked many times and answered many times, but if you come back, if you give me your email, maybe I can send you a little blurb about it, because I know some folks on the Henny Ham Daily Nets that do know why that happens. Go ahead, Vic.
Yeah, KK4JZX, K0OUX. Yeah, real fine there, Jose. Yeah, I would appreciate that. The email address is just K0OUX@att.net. I've been trying to search for any links or manuals or information. It's very difficult to find, but I'm, like I said, I'm new to this. Probably about 5 hours ago, loaded this up and got it running. So, and I do have a good ham friend down here that actually got me interested in the iPad 3. He has one and has it running, so he's very experienced in using it. So I think it's a learning curve, and I look forward to visiting Handy Ham Nets more often now. And Larry up there, N0TCD, definitely you do want to get matched pairs for your finals, and in some cases, I know the higher frequency rigs that were using 6146s, like I believe the Seneca, the 2 and 6 meter rig I had, they had neutralizing probes or neutralizing capacitors to neutralize the pair of tubes. So a matched pair of tubes is definitely when you go to replace the tubes in a final amplifier. So just a comment to Larry there. Jose, a great net tonight. 73s to everyone on the net. And look forward to joining you more often. KK4JZX, K0OUX.
K0OUX, Vic, thanks a lot for joining us tonight. We've got I've got one suggestion to make things smooth with Echolink on the iOS devices. You always want to make sure you close all the apps. You know how when you have the applications, when you open an application on the iPad or iPhone, on any iDevice, they remain, most of them remain running. So you've got to make sure that you close all those applications, so that you have a smooth operation with Echolink. I had one particular application, Dropbox, on my iPhone that was actually interfering with proper communications using Echolink on my iPhone, and I just make sure that everything's closed when I'm using Echolink, because that tends to interfere with that. You copy, Vic? This is KK4JZX.
Yes, Jose, and yeah, I'm aware of that. I found that out. I had Skype running in the background, and even when you shut down or you put the iPad to sleep, Skype is still sitting there running in the background. So I've learned that to shut down the other applications, because they do have a tendency to interfere, and especially with the old horn running like Echolink voice over IP. So 73's to all. Good job tonight, Jose. Look forward to meeting up with you here more often, and we'll have some more conversations on antennas, too. KK4JZX, K0OUX.
K0OUX, thank you very much. And don't forget, we've got our TechNet every Thursday night Hopefully, Herb will be back to next week to run it. What we typically do is we take turns, and we run the net on alternating days, so that way each of us gets an opportunity to participate as sorry for the break, folks, to participate as much as possible in every net. And so we're very excited about the net. We've been running it since September, early September, and it has been very successful, and we love talking about technology. I know Herb is one that likes to talk about technology a lot. I do too, and I like to learn as well. Riley, KL3RH, any comments, any questions, any further questions for tonight? Go ahead, it's your turn. This is KK4JZX before we close the net. KD0NNE, Jim, sorry that we didn't get an answer for you tonight. I know that if you come back, perhaps tomorrow morning or on the next TechNet, you're definitely going to have an answer, and I'll do a little bit of searching and see if I can find something for you at some point here. But hopefully we'll get an answer for you as soon as possible. KD0NNE, are you still around? All right, looks like Jim is no longer with us. Phil, I'm going to take you last with your final comments. It was a light night tonight. Go ahead, Phil, and after your comments, we'll close the net. This is KK4JZX for the Handy Ham Radio Club Net, TechNet.
Yeah, okay, Jose. KK4JZX, KD0ETQ. Yeah, it was a light night. I think Matt probably got involved in some conversation. He had to, you know, stay away a little longer than he thought, so I believe that's what happened. I think Matt pretty well answered my, before he got his own call, he pretty much answered my 6146 question, and I noticed even in some later conversations, the 6146 has popped up again in a conversation there toward the end, so I got my answer pretty much what I wanted. So we'll just turn it back over to you. And like I said, it was a slow night, and I know I remember some of them nets. It got to be 9 o'clock Central, probably 10 o'clock your time, and it was hard time closing them. So back over to you, KK4JZX, KD0ETQ.
Yeah, KD0ETQ. This is KK4JZX. It happens, and what I mean by light is I don't mean the value of the material, which was great tonight. I think we had a great net tonight. I mean we always have trouble getting people to stop checking in, and topics keep coming in, and we keep discussing them. But the net was a great net tonight. I think I learned quite a bit about some things that were mentioned tonight. So definitely always something new. And this is what I like about the TechNet, that is not fixed. It is dynamic. It is a roundtable discussion, and I think everyone enjoys that. That it is the nature of the net is of the TechNet is one which makes for discussion and for dynamic for its dynamic nature. Its dynamic nature makes the net what it is, the TechNet. So, folks, if anyone has any final comments for tonight before we close the net, go ahead, it's your turn, and then I'll come back after the break for final comments and closing comments. KK4JZX. All right, this has been the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet for November 29th, 2012. This is KK4JZX, and we are closing the net. Thank you very much to Phil, KD0ETQ, for backing me up tonight. And this officially closes the Handy Ham Radio Club TechNet. And we return. I forgot, but I wanted to thank all the repeater owners who donate their times to be able to have us do these nets every day and every Thursday night. So thank you very much, folks, and returning all equipment to normal operating parameters. This is KK4JZX Clear.